foundational tools to develop biblical worldviews. Welcome to Mentoring Matters. With the world culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical doctrine to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us today here on Mentoring Matters. This is Sharon Hoskins, and I'm here with Janie Ratzlaff. Janie brought up a few weeks ago about the Gallup poll that declared only 24% of Christians believe the Bible in totality. And so we're taking some time here to look at the sufficiency of Scripture, that it is sufficient for everyday living. And if we look at the church today in light of this Gallup poll, then that would explain why we are not effective for our families, for our communities, for our state, and for the nation. So when we talk about sufficiency of the Scriptures, it is the inherent authority guaranteeing and providing in Christ all that man needs for life and godliness. It is faith and faith alone, the Word of God alone, Christ and Christ alone, and these are three great truths that we can establish through the Scriptures.
And Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So Scripture is enough and equal to what is required for a person to live life.
Wow. Well, I think that means that we probably need to make the only book that God ever wrote was the Bible.
Right.
Now, you know, we have many popular authors today that are good. They may have written 100 books, but you know, God Almighty was able to give everything that He wanted to us as we walk here this 70, 80, possibly 90 years, in one book that establishes our foundation, establishes who He is, and then He tells us everything that we need to know about living life here. But many people get discouraged because He doesn't tell them everything, and then they get to where they doubt the Word of God. But He does tell us everything we need to know on how to live here if we're looking at the principles.
So why is it that Christians are deciding that the Scriptures aren't enough?
Sharon, that's a very good question, and I'm going to give you a simple, basic answer. I'm sure it can go deeper than this, but the Scriptures call us into accountability.
Ah.
And our culture and our society is saying, no, we want to be our own God. One of the places in the Scripture, it says in Judges 21:25, that everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not a declaration of where we are again today, we are cycling again through history, which many people want us to eliminate. Because if we don't have any history, then we can set up our own new history according to the mindset of the enemy rather than the mindset of Christ. A few years ago, people wanted to do away with the blood that is listed in the Scriptures because it was too gory and it was disturbing to have to read about the blood being shed on the cross. So there were some versions that just eliminated the blood. And now we have more recently people who are now saying that they need to eliminate the sin out of the Bible.
Oh, great.
All right?
Okay.
Because sin puts us under such heavy guilt, and it causes us to have to go back and deal with what the Lord said in the Scriptures, starting in Genesis. And so, best that we just rewrite the Bible. Now, I've also recently found that bookstores no longer are going to sell Bibles because they create controversy.
My.
So now we are not going to sell them because we want to be of one mind. Of course, that one mind is not the mind of God. And so now we're just not going to sell Bibles. Right now, the average person with certain convictions is trying to find the Bible to understand the Bible because their boat is being rocked.
Right.
Their foundation is shook. They're seeing a violence in our nation that has never been witnessed by anybody who is currently living on planet Earth.
Right.
And now if they cannot find any hope, refuge, comfort, stability, foundation, because Bibles are becoming obsolete. And so we're finding great diversity as we hold to the fact that mentoring matters. And what I am thankful for today is that I see every different skin color, from very white to very dark, having common belief.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a certain person who is not looking at the circumstances of life. They're going back to the foundation of a basic belief system. And that's what I believe we want to hold to in Mentoring Matters. We want to be able to always give people hope and encouragement on a foundation that has at least recorded history of 6,000 years. And that certainly is better than what we've had for the last 60 or 70 years as we have seen our society as a nation erode. So let's just go to some of the tenets that we're talking about, or we can call them highlights, about what the scriptures do proclaim.
Okay.
And the Bible says that it's faith and faith alone that one must have in their life if they're going to have a foundation. We also know that the Bible says that the Word of God is life. And we can go into that more today,
right,
on exactly how the life is expressed.
Well, you know, in Hebrews 4:12 there, it says that it's living and powerful. And being living and powerful is what we're looking for. I mean, as human beings, we're looking for something that will give us life, something that we can stand on and be assured of. And it's like we're looking in all the wrong places.
Well, and we must have something that's authoritative, and the Bible is authoritative, and now we're seeing our culture trying to tear down everything that is authoritative,
uh-huh,
and set up a new regime that is, again, when every man does what's right in their own eyes. And if you want to go back and read history, you realize that when a nation or a person or a group of people do that, they will go into a bondage.
Mm-hmm.
That brings them into a destruction as a society.
Right.
So then we can just pose the question, and who might be the author of where we are going today? But as we talk about the faith and faith being one of the final authorities, the Word of God standing alone as authority, and then that Jesus Christ had everything given to him as the final authority and the final judge, as we proceed forward to make history. All right?
Okay.
And so these three great truths must be accepted if we are going to be able to have a basis for the scriptures being our sufficiency. And if we refute that, whether we're a believer or an unbeliever, whether we want to compromise. Sharon, why don't you just restate the percentages of the latest poll by the Gallup Research Group?
A Gallup poll showed that only 24% of Christians believe that the Bible is sufficient for their lives, that it is without error.
That it has truth, but that it doesn't have all truth.
Well, that's the 76%.
That
believe it has truth,
but
it's just not all truth.
Right.
There's only 24% that believe the Bible in totality.
So now you can see where within the body of Christ there can be contentions and divisions, mm-hmm, which I know has been very well defined in the first book of Corinthians. So we know that this, what we see in our nation, can come into our own family.
Right.
And so we have to learn how to contend for the faith that we have. So let's go ahead, and why don't you just read 2 Peter 1:3, because,
okay,
that is a powerful verse.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue.
All right, so if we do believe there is a God and that He is sovereign and that He has written the Scriptures, then He confirms here in 2 Peter 1:3 by Peter, who was inspired by the Lord, that we have everything that we need. So let's go in and make a little bit of a distinction on tenets of what we need without making assumptions from our own reasoning. And the first one I'd like to maybe have you even mention is that the Scriptures are adequate. Now, how are they adequate?
Well, that word probably needs a little defining, Janie, because when you say something is adequate, it can have a negative connotation. So to be adequate, as in adequate to do the purpose intended or to meet a need. Not using opinions, earthly logic, creeds, customs, traditions as the final authority in life and living.
So it's not going to tell me whether I need to buy a Buick, a Volkswagen, or a Mercedes. But it is going to help me establish values and judgment on how to spend the money that I have. It's going to give me principles and help me make decisions that will benefit my life, benefit my family, benefit the people that I'm around. So inadequate, we have a current thing for adequate as being, well, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. But adequate means that this particular thing is being used for its intended purpose. And so it is sufficient in the fact that it meets everything that is necessary to make it adequate for why we need it.
Right.
And then, Sharon, I love the word complete. Complete just means it's everything. And even the number 7 in Scripture, when something has a number 7 equation with it, it means it's complete.
Yeah.
It has served its purpose. All right?
Complete means that there's nothing lacking.
There you go. And in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in a bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete." So the basic meaning is to fulfill or accomplish. Now we need to understand that we won't know the fullness of our completeness until we see Jesus Christ face to face.
Right.
But to know that we have everything that we need to live life, that we are complete, that there's nothing that's going to come up that by knowing Jesus Christ, God Almighty, by knowing the Scriptures, that we will come up and say, oh dear, what do I do? What do I do?
Right.
So if we know the Scriptures and we're relying on them and their sufficiency, then we won't be overwhelmed. And you know, Sharon, let me just, a verse just pops into my mind. And because of the turmoil that people are living with in a daily basis, I just want to give you one little scripture from Psalms 94.
Okay.
And this is so simple. But 94:19 says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." So here is the psalmist talking back to sovereign God and admitting that there's multitude of anxieties of where they're living right now, but the comfort that he could get from knowing what God Almighty had said to him brought comfort to his soul, brought quietness, brought settledness. Maybe somebody's just saying, but you girls aren't talking about what we're up against right now. You don't know the hell that's coming upon us. Well, the Lord knew, and he also knew it in Psalms 94. So the psalmist is saying, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of sin? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, I'm going down, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of all my anxieties inside of me, your comfort delights my soul." Mm. Now that should bring some settlement to some hearts to say, well, maybe the word is sufficient.
Right.
I just don't know where to go to find it.
Right.
And you won't find it in a 5-minute devotional once a week or in an hour sermon going to church once a week. We must become disciples. We must become learners. This must be the most important book we will ever read. And it should be, since it's the only book that God ever wrote.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, let's talk about some practical application of the scriptures. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sharon Hart's Mentoring Matters on KWXC 88.9 FM, Grove, Oklahoma. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth. To hear this program again, or to find resource materials, you can go to SharonHartz.org. That's S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz.org. Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Sharon Hoskins, here with Janie Ratzliff. And we're talking about the scriptures being complete, being adequate, and the scriptures being enough for our lives. And so when we wrap all of that up, it's about having the security in a relationship with God, knowing that He loves me. I can trust Him. He cares for me. He is my strong tower. He is my fortress, my redeemer, my helper, my security. And in that, I have a place of living that goes beyond whether I should buy a Buick or a Mercedes, pursue a career, or be a stay-at-home mom.
Well, and when those are threatened, then you do have your anxieties and your perplexities, don't you? And so
Sure.
Well, and then here is the solution. So let's just throw in a little practical application in establishing our foundation.
Okay.
So let's just say that you know that all those things are available for you, but you're not able to latch on to them right now.
Right.
All right. Then in Isaiah 30, it says, and so I'm just going to read this to you as though God's talking to you. Well, Sharon, if you would return and rest, I have your deliverance. If you would just lean on me in quietness and confidence, that will be your strength. Oh, but Sharon, you said, no, I can't do that. I must trust in the circumstances that's around me. I must see the deliverance from the things that are made available to me from this world. And then the Lord says, well, then you're going to have a tough time, Sharon. Now, that's liberally paraphrasing Isaiah 30:15.
Okay.
But He's already given a solution for any anxiety that one has, and that is you've got to take your heart and return it back to me and rest in me, the very things you said that He is to you, your confidence, your shields, your protector, your fortress, your refuge, your Father God. So, having said all of that, there's some implications that we can have about knowing the scriptures, and let's just touch on those.
Okay.
God's word is a necessary and an essential component of our life. It is our daily guide and our nourishment for our body, our soul, and our spirit. So it can help us not only think different, it can help us to feel different. And it can strengthen us, because there is a proverb that says, if you have an illness, your spirit can sustain you, but a broken spirit, who can bear? So the Word of God can help sustain you in a physical or emotional illness, perplexity, being overwhelmed, having a loss of a loved one, or some of the injustices that people are experiencing now. But a broken spirit, who can bear?
Right.
So the need that we need to protect every part of our body so that we can stay and live successfully in an age where we have been born.
Right.
All right. Then how about you giving us another one?
Well, I think it's important that we know that the Word of God is not in addition to anything. Like philosophy, it is standalone sufficiency.
Now, we don't want to sound like we're enemies of philosophy. I believe that the secular philosophy of life can help diagnose your sin patterns.
Oh.
Because man's wisdom, that's about as high as we can go. And that's a lot of what's happening today. People are using philosophies to look for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
A philosophy can help you diagnose a wrong, but a philosophy does not have the answers for the troubles that plague us.
Okay.
But man's wisdom, man's philosophies cannot be used to find solutions in addition to the Word of God.
Okay.
And then also,
that makes sense.
And also methods. You know, you've heard me visit with you in the past about saying, I don't like methods, right?
Or formulas. Step by steps.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But there is a time that the Word of God gives us tenets or outline, which the Scriptures talk about precept upon precept, line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
So the Scriptures do have a precept that we can build upon. But we're not going to go to man's methodology.
Right.
Secular counseling cannot give us the answers to an eternal problem of sin.
That's right. So now, Jenny, the third implication of the Scriptures that we're talking about today is God's Word allows a person to view life through the eyes of God. In John 1:1-4, I'm going to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Well, I think with John 1:1-4, we can continue on with Matthew 5, where in verse 14 it says, "Now you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a mountain or a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but the light is to be seen by all." And so if Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and then we are told to be the light of the world, I think we now have our mission assigned to us. I think we have our calling.
Well, think about it, Janie. If we're talking about the Word of God being Jesus Christ, and He has told us to eat this Word, to ingest it, then that is how we become the light of the world. If we're not reading our Scriptures and we're rejecting it and we're neglecting it and we're offended by it, then we're not ingesting it and allowing it to come out and be a light to the earth.
I don't know if you knew the little chorus, "This Little Light of Mine."
Oh, yes.
"I'm going to let it shine." Uh-huh. All right?
Oh, yeah.
And then the second verse is, "Hide it under a bushel?" No. And that's what it says. We aren't going to put it under a basket. That is Matthew 5:15, singing the Scriptures.
Right.
No, we're going to let it shine. And then the third one was, we won't let Satan blow it out.
That's right.
And that's really where we're having to stand today. We're having to be a light. And it's never too late when you are willing to come under the authority of the Scriptures in Jesus Christ to let your light start to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And as we can see in history, when people came under persecution, they were scattered, but they became bold when the persecution hit them. Their hearts.
Well, the disciples started praying for boldness,
that's
too.
That's right. And so that's where we need to be willing to have prayer, is that the body of Christ will rise up.
Yes.
They will see where we have been complacent, to where we have let the light go out.
And neglected the Word of God.
And once again, the exhortation that we need to be functioning as one body, that we're focused on building one another up and protecting one another.
Right, because the Word of God isn't divided. Jesus Christ is not divided. And, you know, we've talked about every man doing what's right in his own eyes and everybody having their own truths. But the Word of God is truth, and we can depend on that. We can rely on that. It is a foundation that we can stand upon. And that's the fourth one on our list, that the Word of God is truth. And in Matthew chapter 7, he talks about building your house upon a rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, but a foolish one builds their house upon the sands. And when we're building our foundation of our life, our worldview, upon unproven truths, upon facts that
can change,
or feelings that waver, then we are tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. And so we can count on the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus Christ.
Well, and to carry that a point further, the Word unifies. But the Lord then says that He comes with a sword that will divide. Now, the Word's not dividing to create dissension, but your choice on how you choose to respond to the Word
right.
can cause division. Because if you choose to go the world's wisdom, You're making the choice to have a division.
Right. And when he talks about that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing the bone and the marrow, mm-hmm. that is the flesh and the spirit. And they'll always be in contention with one another, correct?
Correct.
We will always fight against the spirit. Our flesh does not want to surrender to the spirit because it means hardship. It means pain. It means we don't get our own way. You know, it's humiliating maybe at times. We have to swallow our pride.
And that's one reason that we need to be slow in our listening and to wait quietly, because I love to say that if fear or flesh knocks at my front door, faith goes and answers it.
Oh, that's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
And says, we have a full house and you're not welcomed.
Right.
So John 14:6 goes back and says that no one can come unto the Father except through me. And my flesh can get very offended at that, because we want to believe there's something good in us, Sharon.
Right.
We've got problems. Yeah, we've got flesh. And yeah, we need Jesus. But there's just something in us that if we act better, talk better, do better, that we can make ourselves better.
Right.
But the Lord is explicit that we can't come to the Father, we can't enjoy the Father, we can't grow in the Father and the Lord Jesus if we think there's something that we can do of ourselves. Now, we can be in obedience to what the Word says, but we also have to remember the Romans road, where it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Well, this is why we as a Christian society are having a hard time with the Word of God, because it requires us to look at that and see ourselves. You know, if we look at James, James tells us that the Word is like a mirror. It shows us ourselves. It shows us who we are. And a lot of times we don't like what we see when we open the Word of God, because it reflects, you know, the sin nature of who we really are. And so we just close it and put it to the side.
Well, we live in a society, Sharon, to where we're taught you can be whatever you want to be if you apply yourself. The idea of being helpless and hopeless rings synonymous with victim.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So you don't want to appear helpless and hopeless. But the Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've all become unprofitable. And there's no one who does good, no, not one. So that leaves us pretty vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we put on the life of Jesus Christ in salvation, then our helplessness and hopelessness is then in Him, and we become mighty warriors.
All right, Janie. So God's Word is a necessary and essential component of life. It is our daily guide and nourishment for body, soul, and spirit. Number 2. God's Word is not in addition to philosophy and methodology. Thirdly, God's Word allows us to view life through God's eyes. Fourth, God's Word is truth. We can depend on it as the solid, firm foundation for our life. And then last is that God's Word is the final and supreme authority for us in all that pertains to faith and establishes the standard for normal godly living. And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a discipleship program of SharonHearts.org. Join a community of Christians seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at SharonHearts.org. That's SharinHearts.org.